Every night at dinner time, I swallow rat poison, something I've been doing since my second heart attack in 2020. Warfarin raises the time it takes for my blood to clot, making it much less likely that a clot can spontaneously form in a pesky congenital aneurysm on my right coronary artery. Since I don't have any serious blockages, this is the only treatment I've needed to prevent another heart attack. So far, so good. Of course, I don't pick up that rat poison on the streets, as hapless rodents do, nor indirectly, as even more hapless scavengers and predators do. I take it in the form of a little blue pill, and I test my blood's clotting rate every other Friday morning on a home test monitor, which instantly sends the results to my warfarin clinic. If the number is higher or lower than it should be, a nurse calls within minutes to adjust my dose. Even when my clotting rate is exactly right, I'm in far greater danger than most people of hemorrhaging or even bleeding out from minor injuries. I'm supposed to head directly to emergency if I hit my head. Even a light bonk could, in a matter of days, render me blind or outright dead. Warfarin is a genuine miracle drug that has saved millions of lives, but it's nothing to play around with. The story of warfarin began in 1933 when a farmer named Ed Carlson drove through a blizzard from northwest Wisconsin to Madison with a milk jug full of blood, a dead cow, and a pile of moldy hay. The cow had died from a mysterious condition called sweet clover disease, which had been studied by researchers in North Dakota in the 1920s, but all anyone knew for sure was that something in moldy clover caused animals who ate it to hemorrhage or bleed out. It took 6 years for the scientists to isolate a crystalline chemical in the moldy hay that prevented blood from clotting. By 1941, the scientists realized that this chemical could be useful in two entirely different and ironically opposite ways, killing rodents while preventing dangerous blood clots in vulnerable humans. The Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation funded their research into synthesizing the drug and working out therapeutic levels. It seemed so extremely counterintuitive for a medicine to also work as rat poison that they started calling the warfarin sold as a blood-thinning medicine by another name, Coumadin. It got a big PR boost when President Dwight Eisenhower had a heart attack while in office and became warfarin most famous patient. In its original form, warfarin is still extremely important therapeutically, but as a rodent poison, it lost effectiveness as the mice and rats that did survive reproduced, ultimately leading populations to develop resistance. Second-generation compounds, which came to be called super warfarins, proved much more lethal to them, but the original warfarin is what continues to be used in human medicine. Warfarins, super warfarins, and other rat poisons remain in an animal for a long time, and any predators or scavengers who eat the rodent themselves ingest the insidious poison. Eating just one poisoned rat could make a hawk or owl vulnerable to bleeding or internal hemorrhaging from the minor injuries predators deal with when tangling with resistant prey. When they eat poisoned rodents day after day with no warfarin clinic to monitor their clotting rate, they're in big trouble. When Flacco, the famous Eurasian eagle owl a vandal set loose from the Central Park Zoo, died, the necropsy showed he'd been exposed to 4 different anticoagulant rodenticides, and sure enough, his poor body showed substantial hemorrhage under the sternum and in the back of the body cavity around the liver, and a small amount of bleeding behind the left eye without any evidence of head trauma. Barry, another famous famous New York City predator, a barred owl, was also necropsied after she collided with a slow-moving vehicle in Central Park. Sure enough, her body showed heavy loads of rat poison, too. Necropsies of several red-tailed hawks found dead in New York also showed that they carried lethal levels of rat poisons. This week, the Chicago Bird Alliance posted on Facebook, "I am sorry to report that our beloved baby great horned owl, who hatched from the breeding pair at North Pond this year, was found dead yesterday morning. He went to Willowbrook Wildlife for a necropsy to determine cause of death, which is presumed to be rodenticide poisoning, the same cause of his father's death in early April. The remaining female owl was seen yesterday with new active bleeding from a previously scabbed foot wound and has not been seen today, so it is feared she may have also ingested poisoned prey." Rats are obviously dangerous pests, but it's our filthy habits that lure them to cities in the first place. Judging by the number of rats I've seen when visiting my daughter in New York, rat poisons have been ineffective at solving the problem, making the collateral damage to hawks and owls even more unconscionable. Flacco, Barry, and the Chicago Great Horned Owls were known individuals being tracked by many people. Untold numbers of hawks and owls who are not recognized individuals die without making the news, and we humans blithely go through our lives without recognizing how many creatures are suffering and dying because of rat poison. When she read about the Chicago owl's deaths this week, my dear friend Lori Gilman from Maine wrote, "Heartbreaking that poison is so commonly and carelessly used. These beautiful souls did not need to die." Yep, that says it all. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.